on the Feast of All Souls, we come face to face with our teaching about purgatory. I want to say a little about that because I think for a lot of Catholics today, it's such an unfamiliar phrase, and it's such a neglected teaching that it has become overgrown with all sorts of other thoughts that are not part of the Church's teaching and which have made purgatory something unpleasant, something almost that we should be a little bit ashamed of, and we shouldn't. For many, if they do or can put a few thoughts together about what purgatory means, it's usually described as a place of punishment, where God gets his pound of flesh. We have sinned X number of times, and God is going to get us back. He's going to make us suffer to right the balance, if you like. And there's something rather twisted in that idea of purgatory. It's not that God wants us to hurt. It's that we need surgery. And those two are radically different. Purgatory, purgatorio, is just a Latin word that means being cleansed, being purged through, being made clean again. And suddenly, the doctrine of purgatory is entirely different. It's not motivated by an angry violence within the person of God, who wants to hurt as much as he has been offended. Instead, it becomes an expression, as indeed the doctrine has always been, of the mercy of God, finishing what we have demonstrated we are unable to finish. Throughout our lives, we strive to a greater or sometimes lesser degree to be holy. We strive to collaborate with the work of the Holy Spirit that is genuinely trying to change us. We believe we are being changed, transformed by God now, insofar as we allow him to do so. And what if that transformation is incomplete when we die? What if when we are called back to God, there is still some tiny fraction of our lives, of our souls, of our instinct, our desires, our thoughts, our motivations, some aspect of who we are that is not yet entirely perfect? What then? Because if God, in his mercy, does not complete what we have left unfinished, then we can only go to hell. And that's not me being dramatic. That is a theological truth. When we speak of purgatorio, being cleansed, all we mean is, in a sense, what we instinctively know from our experience of the family. Most of you here are parents. I'm sure you are familiar with the experience as a parent of seeing your children, when they're little, struggle with homework from school, with a project that they're meant to do, that is just that little bit beyond them. And while you don't want to do all the work for them, because then they wouldn't learn, nevertheless, you know they can't complete in time for the class the next morning, when they will have to present whatever it is they're supposed to have built or written or drawn or whatever it might be. And they go to bed shattered at the end of a hard day with the work incomplete, and wake up the next morning to find that somehow, miraculously during the night, the work just seemed to finish itself because you stayed up and finished it for them. As an image of purgatorio, that's what we're dealing with. God as a father wishes to finish what we have, for one reason or another, not finished. And that gives us the opportunity of heaven. The beauty of this day and of the nature of the Church is that The church is not just a group of people. It is the presence of Christ. This is truly his body. In other words, what we do in faith is the work of Christ himself. When we pray for the dead, we are helping to complete that picture, that project in the analogy, so that when it's needed, it is perfect and complete. And therefore, your prayers and my prayers, prayers that we are very conscious are not very perfect, prayers that we find so difficult to complete without being distracted and letting other things, you know, those prayers that we are very well aware are not particularly good, God will accept even those and use them as part of his work of preparing the ones we love and the ones we've never met for the kingdom of heaven. In a sense, it is one of the most dignifying teachings of the church that speak about us, what we can do and who we are. And that's why this feast day, this commemoration, matters so much at various levels. Firstly, for the purification of those who have died, and secondly, for our own understanding of our own dignity. In a sense, the preaching of the church so often comes down to this. Once we realize what Christ can do through us and inside us, once we can acknowledge the magnitude of what that represents, and then have the courage to step up to the plate, to do what we need to do, we will find nothing can make us afraid any longer. And therefore, this day is an appeal from God to collaborate with him, to be a part of his work, through your own dedication, through your own prayers, through your own sacrifices, through your own sufferings. All of these can be commended in Christ through his dying and rising for the good of those who have died. And that transforms the way we think about the daily lives that we lead. Let us willingly and lovingly, for the sake of those who've gone before us, participate in the work of Christ and raise up by the power of God the souls of those whose work is incomplete to the perfection and the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. God bless you all this day.